boy, they weren't stupid enough to shoot themselves.
I don't care if you shoot, you got witnesses.
But I mean, they one dumb player shot himself, got 2 years in jail for shooting himself.
Yeah, Plaxico Burress.
That's the dumbest person. I swear to God, if I was a professional athlete and I shoot myself in a nightclub, ain't nobody gonna know about it. I'm gonna hop out there like somebody shot me. I'm gonna be screaming, hollering, everything. Oh, how did you get shot? Three white guys shot me.
Right.
That's what they shot me.
You know, but you mentioned something about big league players, and you had some big leaguers going that trip to Hawaii. So who are some of the big leaguers that you've coached over the years or that you have relationships with today?
Well, guys that played in the big leagues was Lou Collier and Neil Brown. Those two to come to mind. And then I had guys, first draft pick out of our program that I coached was Nate Benson. I forget what round he was, but he was drafted by the New York Mets.
Okay.
And we had several guys after that. They had Rod Walker, who, God rest his soul, just passed away a couple weeks ago. He was a fifth-round pick by the Texas Rangers. And Rod, he was hilarious. He was hilarious. He was a 16-year-old kid that I was the only coach that would discipline him and bench him. Every other coach let him get away with what he wanted to. And, I would bench him in a minute. He would go home crying. Mama made him bench me. And his mother loved me because I was the only coach that just went. She's like, good, you must have did something you wasn't supposed to. So, you know, but, I mean, it was all in the making and the molding. You know, Coach ain't had no favors. I mean, only person, you know, my favorite saying from day one when they come to my program, it's only one superstar in this program, and that's me.
Yep. I know it. I know it to be true. I've heard it several times.
I've had a lot of good guys, a lot of college guys, and a whole lot of memories, a whole lot of great memories. And the diversity of the team, I mean, you don't think about it at the time, but when you look at it now, it's special. I mean, we first started off in, I think our first trip was in 1984. We went down to Cincinnati, Ohio, and that's where it all took off. In Cincinnati, and then we used to go up to La Crosse, Wisconsin every year, and the Stars of Tomorrow tournament, and it was this all-black team at the time, traveling, playing good baseball, and we were so good that when we played the white teams, we would knock them out of the tournaments, and they would come back and watch us play them and their parents because they wanted to see some good baseball.
Yeah.
You know, you had the inner-city ball players. They, you know, back then, you had the little chats, ticky-ticky, time to rock, and all that stuff. And our players would get in the dugout, and everywhere we go, everywhere. Ooh,
people want to know.
Such rhythm. The little white kids would sit there in amazement. They'd sit behind our dugout. Hey, sing. Can you guys sing again? Can you guys
sing? They were learning swag, man. But, yeah, so that's what I said. I mean, the diversity changed because it wasn't an all-black team when I played. And that's all I played with growing up until playing in your program, playing with guys from Washington High School and different other high schools throughout the area. So – that was pretty cool for me. That helped to expose a lot for me. So when I think about your career, it's more than just coaching and baseball. We're doing an interview because you have your own production company. You've been pushing that since I've known you. I mean, that's how I got my start. So where did it come that you decided to take it from just on the field to recording things and document it? Where did that idea spark and what was the motivation behind that?
I think it started in about 2003. Somebody had approached me about taping a show for the college team when we were starting off. And we taped a couple of shows as a pilot. I don't think they ever got aired. I'd like to see that footage. But over time, it just evolved and I got off into it. And before you know it, I got off into doing interviews on the road. And then I got involved with Major League Baseball and doing interviews, and it just went from there. And coach some everywhere now, all over TV. I got a TV show in Chicago. I got a TV show that airs in the Chicago Southland, which is South Suburbs. I do a live radio show on Saturday morning. So coach is out there. Coach is out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you talk to MLB players because – when I interned with you, that was the focus of the show, to talk to these Major League Baseball players about how they transitioned from high school to college to the show. So I want to ask you, how did you transition to being involved with the MLB? Like, how does that even happen? How does that spark? I believe you were a scout at one point. Like, how does that even happen, Coach?
I think somebody reached out to me. They were going to cover – they were taking a group down to – but they'd reach out to me to go with them, the group that was going down to document the trip they was making. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had to get permission from Major League Baseball to be able to cover as part of the media. And from there, it opened the door to start covering the White Sox. And that's kind of where that kind of took on its own life from there. And, I mean, you know, it's been all good ever since. You know, we got, you know, we met a lot of players and, you know, get a lot of respect from the players. And I guess one of the biggest ones is Big Poppy himself. I had opportunity – One of my first interviews with Big Poppy, I did several. I was sitting in the dugout next to him, and we was just talking, and I asked him, hey, can I do an interview with you? And we got to talking about him and his Kirby Puckett and so on and so forth, which was a real good friend of his. And from there, we just kind of hit it off, and every time I see him now, when he see me, he like, hey, my main man. Well, you know, you establish, you're in the, and, you know, over time, you know, my shows is not geared around them standard media questions. How come you went 0-4 and why did you beat your wife 20 years ago? My theme is taking them behind the scenes. What was it like getting to the big leagues? What was your high school days like? And the players like talking about that. You know, mm-hmm. They like sharing the parts of them that people don't get to hear about. Yeah. So it kind of became an instant success with the players. And, you know, players remember you. Once you interview them once, when they come to town, they remember you when they see you again. You know, it's a small world. And even with the Sox and the Cubs players, you know, you kind of, as media, you're not a part of the family, but at the same time, they accept you as like a part of them, that fraternity.
Yeah. Yep. I saw it for a brief summer when working with you, and it was awesome. I mean, some of the dudes even calling you coach. That was like
unique. That's my trademark with the guys, coach.
I know, and I mean, that's something to have MLB players calling you coach when they're in the league.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot. That says a lot. You know, so anything you want to say to your players, coach, after 40 years?
Well, you know, it's been a good run. Like I said, I hadn't thought about the fact that I've been involved in 40 years until – I got that call from Donnell Harvey, and, you know, they like my kids. They fun. They still keep me laughing when we, you know, it might have been some years in between, but whenever we talk or run across each other, I mean, we pick up what we left off at. And, you know, throughout the years, Coach Maiden has been like a part of the family. When family members die in their family, they get the call, and I'm there. I didn't have, again, Rod Walker a few weeks ago, we was at his, as we call it in the black community, his homegoing service. I had Terrell Stennis, who played for me on that 86 team that went down to the Royal Series in Chillicothe. His mother passed last year, and that's been more than 30 years. And that was Coach Maiden sitting on the front row. I was part of the family. And, you know, when they get together, they laugh and talk about old times and things that happened on the road trip. So, you know, it's been special. It's been a good run, and good Lord gave me longevity and hopefully more longevity. So I enjoyed every moment. And again, I thank them and I thank y'all and thank you for giving me a chance to be a part of your lives and in some way contribute.
Yeah, if you keep on this longevity track, you're going to make it to 120 by next year.
I'm only 13, so I got a way to go.
Well, Coach, anything else you'd like to add, man, or are you good? Peace. Talk to me with the coach.
There you go.
My name is Luther Morris. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. What's going on, coach? How you doing? Ain't nothing but love for you. Well, congratulations on your 40 years of coaching. You still coaching? I know I learned a lot from you. I played for Coach Maiden in 91. I met Coach Maiden, I met you through I believe Jeff Lattimore. He brought me over, he brought Bruce over from De La Salle. Oh, it was a great experience. I mean, I talk about it all the time. It's one of my fondest memories because I was able to playing it at De La Salle was a different experience playing baseball than it is playing for Coach Maiden. We were able to travel. I was able to play with players that understood me, that had similar interests. We actually played together. We gelled together. We played as a team. So it was a great experience. We, you know, some of the fondest memories I always talk about is traveling, you know, Minnesota, the road trips, whether ups and downs of the road trip, it always was great with camaraderie. Always the tutelage of Coach Maiden, you know, life lessons, the fun, you know, it was a great experience. So I can't match it. I was just talking to my sister just recently about me playing that summer. So it was a difficult choice. As I said before, baseball was always my first love. Baseball was always my first sport. I received a scholarship to Northwestern University, and it was advised that I didn't play summer league baseball after my senior year of high school because of risk of injury. I still chose to play baseball because it's still my first love. And I don't regret my decision, and it was a great experience. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I said I would always do it again in a heartbeat. So I appreciate you. Thanks, Coach. Football was a great – I think I was more of a natural in football. I was able to receive a full ride and scholarship to Northwestern. After Northwestern, I was able to play professional for Kansas City Chiefs, various teams, Denver, St. Louis, San Francisco, along my journeys. I think baseball, and I tell all my athletes, playing multiple sports, I think, is a gateway to being an overall complete athlete. I figure if I can hit a baseball, hit a curveball, slider, I can catch a football. I can catch a big football. You know, you're catching a baseball with one hand, I can use two hands for a football. Eye-hand coordination, depth perception. It's a lot of things that baseball teaches you that you just don't get in other sports. So being a multiple sport athlete, I think, you know, because I did play basketball as well, I think it taught me a lot that I needed for football. But I think baseball was the key and the stepping stone. And I always praise my, you know, my dad for putting me into baseball as my first sport and making it my first love.
So what was your most memorable experience about Coach Maiden and being part of his program?
I'm not allowed to discuss that on film. And I will not discuss that on film. But it's like, as I said, it was the bridging of the camaraderie. Because I went to a private school or a Catholic school, like I said, and it's a different experience. You know, Catholic versus public. You always got the Catholic. That's why we have the prep bowl and things like that in football. We don't really have, I don't know if we have anything in baseball, but it's the camaraderie. You know, I was able to build friendships and play with other players that I normally wouldn't have played with on a normal basis. And we were able to, you know, we were all from the same neighborhood, but we all went to different schools. So, I thought that just the camaraderie was.
Tell us about that Tennessee trip.
I cannot confirm or deny anything that happened.
I heard rumors about y'all on that Tennessee trip. So that's it. I don't know about.
I know I got in trouble and I didn't do anything. I promise you, I slept on a bus that night.
Right.
Oh, but that was playing at some of those fields, because you don't see a lot of those fields. You know, we play at, you know, parks and things like that in high school. So when you go travel, you actually go see different ballparks with lights. You know, it gives you like a different type of feel, a different type of stadium, and different type of competition. So you have to really, you know, use your wits. So I used to love the traveling aspect of summer league baseball.
So rumor has it Coach Mate was a real character now.
Man, that's an understatement. That's an understatement all day, all night. You know, oh my goodness. I learned so much, but I got so many good laughs from Rick, Lou, Murdoch, Jit. I mean, depends on who's on the – I mean, all those people, like I said, I didn't even know half them cats. But to experience a road trip with some people, and you got roommates and people you have never roomed with before, and just to be out there as a young adult, and we just had the freedom, and we had the fun to play the love of baseball. Yeah, and the character, the stops. Oh, Coach Maiden, oh, that is funny. I can't even, I don't speak law, but I'm not even gonna put that on video. Hey, come on, I really truly appreciate you and what you do.
What's up?
Oh, we in the pussy.
Charles, you're on candy camera.
What's up, Charles?
Huh?
Charles, man. What's up, dog? What's up, man? Say something.
What?
Good, what's good?
Good to you already.
America. Jerry Jones here. I just chill, play Madden, play baseball. You pass it over to Josh, who's with Madden tonight. Monday night Madden.
You always beat you. You can't beat
me. Are you ready for some football, Josh?
Jordan, you suck.
Are you ready for some Madden?
You suck at Madden. I'm Let's killing suck. You all the time.
I got a good Madden.
That's what you're going to do?
Sorry.
Still out here, dude. What's up, man?
What's going on? Session one is done.
I know, I had a great time down there. I love it. I love traveling though.
Fun, dude. Yeah, it is fun. I like going places I ain't never seen before.
All these shows are fun.
I guess I'll go with y'all.
What?
Well, as you can see, we have a lot of characters that make up our teams over the summer.
Watch me here. I guarantee you DH me.
On the road with the coach in New Jersey, as Julian just tried to strike me out in the cages, but he found our coach can still hit. He tried to throw me curveballs and stuff. I'm still smacking this stuff. Now Jose want to come in and act like you can hit. You can't hit like me, though. Don't act like you hit like me, because he was throwing me junk, and I still was smacking it.
He
I know he was scared of me. Let me get out of the cage, because I got them all scared to pitch to me now. This Julian in the cage, wolfing. Then he gonna come and try to throw me some curveballs and change up, because I started smacking this stuff.
Julian, look down.
Look at what you swinging at, Julian? What you swinging at, Julian?
He almost hit me.
You supposed to hit the ball. What you doing? You can't hit? Woo! Josh, you ought to be pitching. Well, I forgot it's only Julian. And this DJ here. And this Charles here. Tell our fans how, Charles.
Oh, fans.
And Jordan. Come on, let me take you out on the field and let you see this AstroTurf field we're going to be playing on tomorrow.
Hey, Joey, you done yet, man?
You get an idea of what it's like in New Jersey. Broadcasting live from New Jersey, this is the AstroTurf field. So all you fans out there watching our show, you get to see our team on the road in New Jersey. We play tomorrow on this field. Give you a little insights. Well, you're on the road with the coach in New Jersey. As you got these guys, think they can play some ball. Julian, they got Charles here. He can't hoop, so he just hangs around me. You got the bench warmers over there. The bench warmers. Look at Jose. There's Miguel. This is life on the road with the coach in New Jersey. As you see some little off the field activities that take place.
Yeah, I'm out here killing in New Jersey. You know me. Second base. I'm the man. Thanks, Mike.
My name is Louis Alonzo. I'm north side of Chicago. I currently live in Austin, Texas, and I played for Coach Mode in 1993 and 1994. I met Coach through one of my buddies who was on the team, Andrew Beta. They also know him as Sonny. He was playing with the team, and kind of just I saw the fun he was having and kind of talked to me about it, and I went and checked it out, and that was it. You know, kind of got hooked. What did I think about the team? Especially being in the inner city. My thoughts on Coach Mayden, coaching 40 years, I'm not surprised. I mean, I feel like amazing coach, but an amazing baseball man, you know, that, I mean, it's hard to give it up, you know. It's one of those things that, you know, it's a passion, and you know, when it burns like that, I mean, it's hard, you know. Not surprising whatsoever. Honestly, you know, my thoughts on the program, to me, it's like, if anybody has an opportunity to play for the organization, and, I mean, I wouldn't think twice about it. I mean, it's a unique experience that many inner city kids would not normally have, and it's just something that, it's a great baseball experience. It puts you on the map in a way, and it also gives you an opportunity to play beyond high school. I mean, usually most of the kids that take it serious end up playing in college in some form, whether it's D1 or junior college. I mean, some form of college ball, and it's just one of those things that I would not pass up that opportunity. I would recommend it to anyone that has that opportunity. I mean, it's just a baseball experience, and not only that, just create memories that'll last a lifetime. I mean, it's the traveling and the camaraderie with the players and the coaches, and it's something that you'll never forget. Parting words of Coach Maiden. I'd say that it sounds like it's been an amazing ride. I mean, it's a very well-deserved celebration of 40 years of coaching. I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, it's rare. I mean, it's definitely rare. But the love that the players feel for Coach Maiden, you know, it's just something pretty unique. I was just recently in Georgia with one of my son's teams. He plays 16U baseball right now, and met up with another former player, Coach Maiden, who played professional baseball, played in the major league, Lou Collier. And we kind of reminisced a little bit on experiences with Coach Maiden, and it was just, you could talk about it forever and ever. I mean, you could just go on and on all night, going, talking about stuff that took place on the field, off the field, on the road. You know, it's just something that, you know, you don't forget. You know, it really leaves an impression on you, and you just wish that more people could experience it. But yeah, I congratulate Coach Maiden on 40 years of baseball. That's quite the accomplishment.
Coach, are you editing this? Coach, are you editing this?
And welcome to Talk to Me with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden. We're on the road today, filming baseball from the... Ready? Welcome back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden. We're in...